KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. The U.S. Supreme Court decision yesterday upheld the majority of President Obama's health care overhaul, and for local care providers, it makes the future of health care in the region a little more certain. Officially known as the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the ruling yesterday, among other things, determined the federal government can require people to buy health insurance or otherwise face financial penalties. Several states, including Alaska, had challenged the constitutionality of that and other provisions in the law. In the decision yesterday, Chief Justice John Roberts explained the court's view that the health insurance mandate was a valid exercise of Congress's authority to, quote, lay and collect taxes. In the Norton Sound and Bering Strait region, upholding the Affordable Care Act was seen as good news by local health care providers.
There is a sense of relief in Native American communities that the right to health care for Native Americans and Alaska Natives has been upheld with the Supreme Court decision.
That's Norton Sound Healthcare Corporation President and CEO Devin Parlicker. He says that when the ACA was passed, Congress also passed the Indian Health Care Improvement Act. It's what funds IHS and the services provided by Norton Sound. It also brings federal dollars into the region for other health projects and programs. The repeal of the ACA would have meant that a repeal of the Indian Health Care Act would also follow. That would have created a lot of uncertainty about federal funding in the region. Now Parlicker says that system won't change.
Our connection with the Supreme Court decision on the Affordable Care Act is directly related to funding that we get from IHS. So we're delighted that the repeal didn't go through, primarily because it keeps the Indian Health Care Improvement Act reauthorized in perpetuity.
As health insurance exchanges come online in the years to come and the pool of insured residents in the region increases, Parlicker sees Norton Sound playing an increasingly important role as a community health center.
The burden of health care will shift a lot to community-based health centers. And for a community like Nome, Norton Sound Health Corporation is considered a community-based health center. Unlike other larger towns where you may have two or three other community-based health centers, Norton Sound Health Corporation has this dual responsibility to its community. So when the health insurance exchanges are in place, we will actually see a lot of patients that qualify for those exchanges, and we'll be able to see them at Norton Sound.
Other healthcare providers in the region were more cautious. Dr. Bob Lawrence has a personal practice in Nome. He says the ruling likely won't change his relationship with his patients. Dr. Lawrence says regardless of the ruling or greater access to health insurance, overall health is an investment made by the individual.
The Supreme Court did not make a decision about health care. They simply made a decision about how we would make investments in healthcare in the United States. But the real impact of that decision is not going to be felt locally. What will really make an impact on people's health locally are the daily decisions about whether or not to eat a healthy meal versus unhealthy, about whether or not to put on the walking shoes and go for a walk tonight versus sit in front of the TV. Those are the decisions that will make the biggest difference in the health of our region and then the health of our children and the generations to come.
Dr. Lawrence says many issues with the modern healthcare system remain despite the ruling. The system is still too focused on the business relationship with third-party insurance companies and healthcare systems, he says, rather than on the patient's personal relationship with their healthcare providers. Elsewhere in Alaska, the governor and Alaska's congressional delegation are reacting to the Supreme Court's decision. Calling the decision the single largest tax increase in American history, Governor Sean Parnell says he remains concerned about the impact the federal health care law will have on individual and states' rights. Parnell called the decision a tax on working poor and middle-class families. He says the state has begun reviewing the decision to determine how other provisions, like mandated state Medicaid expansion, has been affected. Meanwhile, Alaska's Republican members of Congress are calling for the federal health care law to be repealed or replaced. Senator Lisa Murkowski says it sets a precedent for government overreach into health care options. Representative Don Young says it needs to be replaced with a law that increases accessibility to and affordability of health care. Murkowski expects the issue to be a major one for congressional candidates if portions of the law aren't repealed by November. Democratic Senator Mark Begich says the law isn't perfect. He also says that the status quo was not an option. He says he looks forward to the state of Alaska moving ahead in implementing the law. Yesterday, KNOM Profiles featured an interview with Woody Salmon, a candidate for House District 39 in the August Democratic primary. You can hear that full interview on the news page of KNOM.org. Today, KNOM Profiles brings you an interview with the other candidate in that primary, incumbent Neil Foster. Foster was born and raised in Nome. He's been District 39's representative since 2009. Redistricting, however, has significantly changed the size of his district and now spans from the Canadian border all the way to the Bering Sea. Foster says the two main issues affecting District 39 are funding and energy. He believes the solution to both of those issues lies in the development and the use of Alaska's natural resources.
Right now, we need to drill. You know, I was just at a meeting where somebody, you know, from the North Slope said, you know, drill, baby, drill. And it was interesting to hear somebody from, you know, one of the villages up there say that. But they understand and they realize the need to get out there and drill, because 90% of the state's budget is dependent on the revenues that we see coming out of the North Slope.
To hear more from candidate Neil Foster and what he wants to do as your representative for District 39, you can listen to Profiles after the weather this hour and also later again tonight after the 6 p.m. weather. The Reds have started to show up in Teller, but as in every salmon fishery so far, reports are that it's been a slow run this year. And while Fish and Game doesn't think there will be a commercial fishery, area manager Jim Menard says they are expecting 20,000 Reds in the river.
It's still a waiting game right now, what's going to happen, but we're checking with the subsistence fishermen out there in Teller and Brevig, and it's just a waiting game. Time will tell, but once we get around the 4th of July, then we have a little better picture.
Much of the forecast of improvement this year is credited to the work of the regional CDQ. Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation has been fertilizing the lake regularly since 2007. That's given favorable ocean conditions and a potential for bigger numbers than the department has been forecasting. And of course, if a high number of Reds enter the Pilgrim, Menard says the department would issue a commercial fishery.
The goal is 30,000 in river to allow for commercial fishing. And there's about 5,000 caught in the subsistence fishery in river, so we would need to project about 25,000 through the Pilgrim River Weir. However, I don't quite see that happening this year, but time will tell.
Menard says that they usually start to see Reds hit the Pilgrim River Weir around July 4th. He says in the big run years, Reds are seen right around now at the Weir. However, one year, when 50,000 Reds went through the Pilgrim River Weir, the first sockeye wasn't seen at the Weir until July 5th. With the late run timing, Menard says the department would not decide to close the Pilgrim River for subsistence fishing until the second week of July.
The subsistence escapement goal is a little different. It's 4,000 to 8,000 by aerial survey in Salmon Lake. And we did make that last year. We had a little over 5,000 in the aerial survey. So hopefully we can make it again, but not have to close down subsistence fishing out there in the Pilgrim River.
If the run turns out to be late but plentiful, Menard says the closures can then be lifted. Again, Fish and Game will make their projection on the run around July 15th. And the Rasmussen Foundation has approved $9.6 million in funding for 18 nonprofit projects in Alaska. The Anchorage Daily News reports that several awards were for $1 million or more. Recipients getting some of the larger sums are the United Way of Anchorage, the South Central Foundation, and the Statewide Emergency Food and Shelter Network. Other recipients include the Brother Francis Shelter in Kodiak and the City of Soldotna to help with their expansion of the Joyce K. Carver Memorial Library. The Rural Alaska Community Action Program is receiving money to improve Head Start facilities in several rural communities. Taking a look at the price of gold this hour in New York, gold prices were up $45.30, trading at $1,598.30 an ounce. The price of silver was up $1.20 to $27.62 an ounce. The price of zinc was at 84 cents a pound, and Alaska Airlines Flight 151 landed in Nome on time at 8:57 this morning and is expected to depart around 9:47 later this morning. It's unofficially 46 degrees outside the KNOM station, 11 minutes past 9 o'clock.